there. Welcome to another edition of County Attorney's Half Hour on Star Radio. This is a Carter Center sponsored program. It deals with the agenda of the attorneys and how they intend to get around them. I'm Olive Summers. For today, I'll be talking with Attorney Charles Gono of Grand Gibbon County. Welcome, Attorney Gono.
Thank you very much.
What are those things that you'll be doing for this week?
To start with, I had a very terrible accident, so I'm trying to recuperate from that accident. But this week we'll be dealing with a rape case that we started last week, and we'll continue with that. We have one witness. The state is having the last witness, to put the witness on the stand to testify on behalf of the state and the victim. And the case is about a statutory rape. A 62-year-old man raped a 13-year-old
child.
Yeah, that's the case.
So it's about a 62-year-old man raping a 13-year-old child, you said.
Yeah.
When this took place?
It took place in December last year.
That's the final witness to appear on the stand this week.
Yeah, we believe the state other witness will be coming on the stand very soon. But in case of any, if there's a need for a rebuttal, any statement should come out on the defense, or the defense witness should come out with a statement that needs to be rebutted, we'll come out with a rebuttal witness. But for now, we want to minimize the amount of witness the state is putting on the stand so that we can see they prosecute this particular case and move on to the next one.
So what else besides this rape case?
Next one on the agenda is another statutory rape case.
Involving?
A 42-year-old man raped a 9-year-old child.
So that hasn't started yet?
No. We brought the witness. We informed the defendant of the charge, and he pleaded not guilty, but we have not informed the jury yet because the jury we found is for the 62-year-old man who raped a 13-year-old child.
What does it mean to you having other men raping teenagers, even children?
Well, you see, there are some men who have witnessed when it comes to female, and there are some people who take advantage of the weak people because some think they have money, they can influence the child. Pedophile kind of people, who think that the little children can be lured with money or candy and things like that, And they lure them and ask them, and which, of course, is against our law. So those cases, and we consider it high-profile cases. We have other cases, but we consider those high-profile cases because it claims our attention, it claims the government is believe in the rule of law. We have very much sensitive to gender-based violence, and we intend to prosecute those who commit crimes within that category of gender-based violence.
So what's the total number of cases you will be dealing with this term of court?
I will intend to deal with about 5 to 6, but one time we will do that, but we're having problems. Most of the cases, they cannot produce the defendant. And, the defendant has gone at large, and the surety is having serious problem to get them because some of them, they know that when we get them, we'll prosecute them to the letter.
So they leave the area.
The surety cannot produce, and sometimes we keep the surety in jail or we get the surety to be able to come out with the defendant. And sometimes we have to give them something like a week to go and find the defendant.
If the surety doesn't find a defendant at all, what happens to the case?
Yeah, we hold on to the surety because the surety is responsible for the defendant.
And so as long as he cannot produce a defendant, he will be in jail.
Yeah, he will be there. He will be there. And every term of court will bring you to court and to ascertain from you whether you have found a defendant. If not, so be it.
So what
we'll give you the opportunity, every term of court, we'll give you the opportunity to come to court and explain to the court whether you have found the defendant Otherwise, the court will decide that if it's a debt action or whatsoever it is, they owe you to pay. Or whatsoever it is, it will require restitution.
Has it worked?
That's the final alternative. The final alternative.
So have you reached...
Because you allow the surety to go for the, and look for the defendant, the surety also has come. Then it looks like the state is weak in bringing justice to the victim.
Have you reached that far where the surety is being made to pay the debt? If it's debt, what if it's not debt? What happened?
No, no. Because at this time now, we have an insurance company who stood at surety and another group of people who stood at surety. We have some of the surety in jail and some we gave the time. We will have you incarcerated until we can have the shirt.
What are the problems you like face in executing your duty there?
The problem is getting the victim to come and testify. Sometimes you have these people in jail and you try to indict them and you want the witnesses from the victim's side to come and testify before the grand jury, and you have to go all around begging for them to come, and sometimes you go, you cannot find them. Sometimes you find them and say, look, I'm not after that case anymore. So you have to find a way to see how you can have the defendant released from jail.
Why do they take cases to court if they know that they don't have the time to go through the proceeding?
You see, our justice system, let's take, for instance, like an aggravated assault case. A police will do an arrest. Somebody is seriously injured, and the police cannot stand there and do nothing about it. So the case is brought to the attention of the police. The police did an investigation, did an arrest, charged the person, and sent them to the magisterial court. The magisterial court, knowing full well that the case is about its trial jurisdiction, forward it to the state court. And at a second level, fire of his attorney. Before the county attorney tried to do an indictment in the witness to come appear before the grand jury and testify to the grand jury, so the grand jury can be convinced that, yes, indeed, from the testimony of these witnesses, the crime was really committed, because these are trial facts, relating to the facts and circumstances. So if they are to come to testify before the grand jury before we can do an indictment against the defendant, they refuse to come, then it becomes a serious problem, you see? Although you knew that very well that the crime was committed, you have other evidence, the witnesses and the victims are not coming forward.
So that's a major problem?
Yes, it do happen, because some of them come from the far and nearby villages, and you got to convince them. Sometimes, let's take for instance, if it's a rape case, they take the victim and carry them far off. You cannot get to the victim. And sometimes the victim, who is the principal witness, if the victim is not available, then you cannot prosecute.
So this process of the justice system is very hectic, and sometimes it's like weighing those county attorneys because you cannot get things done the way they should.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about detention facility.
Yeah, the detention facility, I must admit, I must be honest, it's not up to standard. You know, our detention facility right now is the office of an old powerhouse, you know. I think the so-called Norman Bay, you have a power plant here in Riversport, and it's a sort of the office of the operator of the power plant. The office is what, you know, for a cell. The last time there was a massive jib bait, and we did some recommendations, and thinking that it's going to be followed. There was a renovation, but right after the renovation, one person escaped, breaking the speed bar, and escaped. And another problem is sometimes the correction officer, they're delinquent on duty. I must speak the truth, huh? Not because they are from the Ministry of Justice. That night, I learned that they were delinquent. They didn't come on duty. One of the inmates of the detainee went and broke the speed bar and got away.
So why do you think that the correction officers will be delinquent?
I really don't know. Because I told the correction superintendent to write a report on that so that we can forward it to the assistant minister or the director of correction. It was brought to their attention and they are investigating it.
How long will the investigation run for?
Maybe a week or two.
So what about the other officers? Are they still delinquent?
No, they continue to come. But these are things that we must not sweep it under the carpet and hide it, you know. But it's a fact that the public need to know.
So how's the relationship like, the court system and the residents of the county? Are they willing to take their matters to court? Do they go and witness proceedings?
Yeah. The court is an open place. It's a public forum, and people who are interested in the case, they do come around, except that a statutory rape case which involves a minor, and the law requires that it must be done in camera, meaning that it must be exclusively with the defendant and people who are really interested people, so that because the child victim is kind of a shock, is not willing to speak and traumatized and stigmatized by the public and the kind of environment. So they try to minimize the amount of people that come to court so that the hearing becomes speeded because the crowd also distracts the victim. Sometimes the victim, you have to be very patient with the victim because the victim, as the victim, try to imagine and record the trauma and the harm that was done. And they have to break down. Sometimes they become speechless. You have to give them time to recover, to be able to speak again. You don't try to hurry them up. It's a very hectic and traumatizing, and, you know, some sort of counseling the victim to be able to speak.
To you,
sometimes the victim becomes silent as if they're lying or the thing don't happen. But once you try to relax, they'll come back out of their shell and speak, you know.
Do you visit other magisterial courts around the county?
Yes, I go to Tenney Magisterial Court, I go to St. Jay, I go to Lofa Bridge. I most of the time go down to Robertsport Magisterial Court to watch the proceedings. Yeah. And I'm trying my best to get competent people to serve as city solicitors in places like Lofa Bridge and Congo and most of the Magisterial Court. My agenda is to be able to have city solicitors in all the Magisterial Courts because there and then people who I agree to the court will have redress. And most cases that are above the trial jurisdiction or the magisterial court will be forwarded to the circuit court for adequate redress.
Places where there are no solicitor general, who runs the affair of that court?
No, we have something like a rolling solicitor. We have a city solicitor, a sheriff of the Robertsport Magisterial Court. He goes from one magisterial court to another and be able to try cases and forward those cases to the circuit court.
Absolutely, Charles Kono. I want to thank you very much for having the time to talk to me on the program, County Attorney Half Hour, Okada Center Sponsor Program.
It's my pleasure. I love to talk to you always. And please be free. Call me anytime. Anything happening in the county you want to know, please talk to me.
Oh, well. Grand Kidman County Attorney Charles Kono. He is presently dealing with two rape cases involving a 62-year-old man and a 13-year-old girl, and a 42-year-old man and a 9-year-old girl. With the former, the last witness is to take the stand, while the latter, the jury, has not been impaneled. Attorney Gono said he hopes to deal with between 5 and 6 cases for this term of court. He complained of lack of prison facilities, getting witnesses to testify, and correction officers are sometimes delinquent on the job. The Grand Cape Mount County attorney noted that he's working on modalities to get competent people to serve as city solicitors in Congo and Lofa Bridge. Mm-hmm. The program you're listening to is County Attorney Half Hour on Star Radio. This is a Carter Center sponsored program. It is aired every Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon and Sunday at 5:10 p.m. Thanks for being there. Councillor Augustine Fire is the Assistant Minister for Litigation at the Ministry of Justice. Councillor Fire supervises the attorneys. Welcome, Councillor Fire.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Could you just tell me your scope of operation as a supervisor of the attorneys? You talk about high-profile cases, some cases that they will need your physical appearance as well. Have you experienced such? Do you have difficulties in executing your duty as a supervisor? So before, it used to be very tedious where you have county attorneys who are not law school graduates. So it has become mandatory that all attorneys be law school graduates.
Not to mention, the prosecution does not just suggest that all of the cases have been winning cases, both criminal simple assault and vetted assault, and you name it. And so they show that, you know, they are our partners in progress, like the PAD and other people, the Canada Center, and, you know, American Bar Association are helping really. And so we are making major success as well as UNDP and so forth. So that is what making our work a bit easier in terms of the, you know, performance on the field. Maybe there are some specific which can do we need to be addressed by the administration, but major performance, there is a very big progress, and we continue. We hope we continue like that.
You also talk about your attorneys winning cases, simple assaults, the rest of them. But it seems as though it's very difficult when it comes to rape cases. How can you evaluate that?
Well, you know, many rape cases are being won as well. The only problem is that in most cases, the rapist and the rape victim are the prosecution list for rape cases from the attorney become difficult. Like, few days ago, most other counties.
How often do you visit your attorneys around the country? You just mentioned one visitation. Do you have a schedule? Yeah. Do you have a schedule, like a month? That's what I heard. That's what I'm asking. Do you have maybe a monthly schedule that every month I visit this county, or you just visit abruptly when the need arises?
As well as on the schedule basis, I have the schedule that I'm working on.
You are the middleman between the attorneys in the various counties and the Ministry of Justice. I'm sure you are abreast with their constraints. Most of them talked specifically about vehicle. They are not mobile, so they cannot visit other areas.
You are right. You are right.
Let's talk a little bit about prison facility. I spoke with Attorney Charles Gono, Grand Cape Mount County, and he talked specifically about the lack of detention facility. What is the Ministry of Justice doing so as to provide those facilities around the country? Councillor Augustine Fire, Assistant Minister for Litigation at the Ministry of Justice. He supervises the attorneys. Where there is a need for them to have a reason to believe that they are in doubt of a legal proceeding or law, he makes sure that they are properly equipped. He said where there is a high tension case, he makes sure that the prosecution is a must. Councillor Fire said he once experienced difficulties where attorneys were not law school graduates, but he said this doesn't exist anymore. He said the attorneys attend regular training every 3 months. He noted that there has been a great progress in the attorneys' performance across the country. He also made mention that he is aware of the constraints attorneys are faced with, especially when it comes to the vehicles. He said all modalities are being worked out to ensure that they get vehicles. He noted that areas where there are no detention facilities, the detainees are transferred to the closer county, but that also is a problem because of lack of vehicles. He warned residents to stop burning down police stations across the country. This, he said, does not augur well for the country's young democracy. Well, on that note, that's how I draw down the curtain on this week's presentation of the program, County Attorney Half Hour Authority Minutes Package, sponsored by Carter Center. It's intended to highlight the activities of the attorneys across the country and how they intend to work around them. Make it a date to join me next week. My name is Olive Thomas, thanking you for listening.